ॐ गणानां गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मेन्द्र इन्द्रियं ददातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो ददातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ
शान्तिः।
इन् छान्दोग्य उपनिषत् द सेवेन्त् चाप्टर् वी हेव् कम्प्लीटेड् 15 सेक्षन्स्। The first 15 sections, Sanat Kumaraha teaches, discusses the meditation upon 15 factors, Namadi Prananta Pratika Brahma Upasanani, the meditations upon Brahman, upon 15 Pratikas as Brahma were seen in the 15 sections. After the 15th section, 16th onwards, this introduction of the Bhuma Vidya begins. The 16th section, actually, Sanat Kumara himself introduces the absolute reality. So Narada did not ask for what was the absolute reality. He took Hiranyagarbha itself as Hiranyagarbha himself as the absolute reality. He kept quiet, but Narada Hanukumara himself talked about the absolute reality. When did he talk about absolute reality? He said, he mentioned the Ativadi. Who is Ativadi? The exalted speaker, the greatest speaker is the one who is wise. When the wise person speaks, when the wisdom comes out through his mouth, when he expresses his wisdom in his words, and that wisdom, expression of wisdom, makes one a greatest speaker, a most exalted speaker. Who is Ativadi? We saw first, even the person who practices meditation upon Hiranyagarbha, one who sees one's own prana as the Hiranyagarbha, thereby one who sees the Hiranyagarbha as Ishvara, therefore one who meditates upon one's own prana as Brahma, seeing that prana being non-separate from Hiranyagarbha, she is said to be the exalted of the meditators, and he becomes the exalted speaker, great speaker, because he is able to speak about the glory of Hiranyagarbha, how glorious Hiranyagarbha is, how Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyagarbha, it is Hiranyagarbha who, because of whom, whose presence, whose blessings, the life itself is possible. The world itself functions, everything is possible here. But now, in the 16th section, Sanat Kumaraha introduced Satyam Brahma. Not Hiranyagarbha, but Satyam Brahma. See, Hiranyagarbha is Karyam Brahma. Isn't it? And also, even Virat is a Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma, not manifestations. Whereas the pure knowledge, you can say the Karanam Brahma, the absolute reality is what? Satyam Brahma. He introduced the word Satyam Brahma and he says, a one who talks about the, one who presents the, understands the glory and the blessing of the Hiranyagarbha, talks about Hiranyagarbha, is an exalted speaker, I did say. But now, you know, who is the most exalted of the speakers? Who is the greatest of the speakers? Is the wise person. And who is the wise person? Who has the vision of the absolute reality, who alone can talk about the absolute reality, is the most exalted person, the speaker, greatest of the speakers. He is the Ativadi. There is no greater Ativadi, there is no greater speaker, more exalted speaker than the man of wisdom, the person of wisdom, who can talk about the absolute reality. Therefore, Satyena Yaha Ativadati Saha, we saw it now, Saha. Satyena Saha Ativadi. Hey, this is the, in fact, exalted of the speakers. The most, the greatest speaker is the one who speaks about Brahman, absolute reality. But how can one speak about the absolute reality if a person does not know what absolute reality is? For a person to talk about the reality, he must have knowledge of the reality. Is it? But he said what now? Therefore, one should know the absolute reality, and that knowing, knowledge of absolute reality is mentioned by the word, meant by the word vijnanam. He uses the term vijnanam. A vijnanam is what? The absolute knowledge of the absolute reality. One must have vijnanam for one to become, talk, to become the ativadi. Therefore, may you know what vijnanam is. He said that. Narada said what? Yes, I want to know what vijnanam is. Then, he said, then Sanat Kumara continued, for a person to have the vijnanam, to have the knowledge of the absolute reality, what he said? To have the knowledge of the absolute reality, one needs what? Contemplation. One needs to be contemplative. Without being contemplative. No, being contemplative means what here? Without being given to the discipline of enquiry into the nature of the reality, how can ascertained vision of the reality presupposes the constant, continuous enquiry into the nature of the reality? Isn't it? Therefore, he repeated now. Therefore, may you understand what mananam is, what matihi is. There you understood. Afterwards, even for one to become contemplative upon the nature of the reality, to be contemplative, to contemplate upon the nature of the reality, to inquire into the nature of the reality, to have, thereby to have the ascertained vision of the reality, to be able to talk about the reality. See, in order to be able to talk about the reality, one must have the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality called vijnanam. And for one to have the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality, one must be given to the discipline of inquiring into the nature of the reality. And for one to have, to be able to inquire into the nature of the reality, first of all, one should have understood the reality. How can you inquire into the nature of the reality? How can you dwell upon the reality, contemplate upon the reality, if you do not even know what the reality is? For you to know the reality, first of all, you must have studied the Shastram. Isn't it? You must have done the Shravanam. And for you to be able to do the Shravanam, you must have what? You must have Shraddha in the Shastram. Because Shastram is the Pramanam. Therefore, you must have Shraddha in the Shastram. And the teach words of the teaching of the Shastram unfolded by the teacher. Only then you can listen to the Shastram. By listening to the Shastram, you can know what the Shastra teaching is. then you can understand what the nature of the reality, then you can enquire into the nature of the reality. Therefore, enquiry presupposes Shraddha. Is it clear now? Shravanam and Shravanam presupposes Shraddha. Shraddha must be there. May you understand what Shraddha is. He said that. Then later on, one must have unflinching faith in the words of the Shastram. Astikya Buddhihi. Shankara says, Mantavya Vishaye Adaraha. Astikya Buddhihi. Yes, if I dwell upon the nature of the reality, I will have the ascertained vision of the truth, and for which I should know what the truth is, for means Shastram does work as the Pramanam. That Shraddha I must have. Then I should study the Shastram. You cannot listen to the unfoldment of the Shastram. You cannot listen to the Shastram, study the Shastram, unless you have the connection, understand the connection. But no, accept Shastram as the Pramanam. The Shraddha is very important. Shraddha presupposes. Now, but how can one pick up Shraddha? How can one have Shraddha, faith, develop Shraddha, faith in the Shastras, study of the Shastram? That comes only if a person has a Nishta. Nishta is what? Nishta means commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge, commitment to the study of the Shastram. So commitment to the study of the commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge is possible, is it? Only once you have, then commitment to study of the Shastram also is possible. Commitment. Nishta. That commitment to the study of the Shastram, there will be commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge. How will you get? You will not be committed to the pursuit of the knowledge unless you know the value of the knowledge of the truth. And for you to know the value of the knowledge of the truth, you should have Purushartha first of all. How are you going to discover, even though you are searching for happiness, but when you are searching for happiness, not knowing that you are searching for happiness, you are searching for freedom, you can never discover it. No, the search without knowing what I am searching for, the search without knowing where I should search for, if I search will be endless. Isn't it? The search will come to an end only when you search knowing what you are searching for. You should search where you should search for also. If you go and search for something somewhere else, isn't it? You should know where you should search for. You should know what you are searching for. Must be very clear. Only then search will come to an end. So here, one must have, first of all, I am desperately searching for happiness. And happiness is my choiceless end. Purushartha nischeha one must have. Then for the discovering that happiness, I need what? I need to know the reality as my own self. So one must know, have Purushartha nischeha. And one must have the value, thereby one will have the knowledge of the value of the knowledge of the truth. If a person has the value of the knowledge of the truth, then he will become what? For a person to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, one must know the value of the knowledge of the truth. And when a person even becomes committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth, and he knows the value of the Shastram, he understands the connection between Shastram and the knowledge, then he knows what? Oh, Shastram alone serves as a pramanam, a means of knowledge of the truth. Thereby he becomes committed to the study of the Shastram also. So Purushartha nischeha, value of the knowledge of the value of knowledge, thereby value of the study of the studying the Shastram. When a person has this nishtha, then alone he can have what? Shraddha. Understand? And for that nishtha, how does he get it? How does he understand this is what my Purushartha? How does he discover his Purushartha being moksha? How does he discover his knowledge being the only means, knowledge of the truth being the only means for accomplishing moksha? How does he discover the fact that Shastram is a pramanam to attain the knowledge of the truth? How? Be serving the teacher, being around elders, in the Gurukulam, by serving this teacher and being around the teachers, being around elders who have already, you know, he picks up. Therefore, that Kanishta one develops, one discovers by being around the teachers, serving the teachers. Is it clear? Then, okay, well, may you discover Nishta, he said. How can a person have Nishta? How can one discover this commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge? Commitment to the pursuit of the study of the Shastra, commitment to study of the Shastram. Now, being around the teachers, how can he do that? You know, he says, Yada Karoti, only when a person lives values. Okay, living a life of values. How can a person live a life of values? By doing one's duties. By performing one's duties, by being worshipful, by being prayerful, by living a life of values. Isn't it? These things put together is what now kritihi. This alone, see, one must have adequate punyam to be exposed to, you know, to be around the teachers, to be around the elders, to be around cultured people, to discover such good things. If you are, in which company you are, if you are in the company of wrong people, where people do not value, no value for dharma, no value for shastra, no value for teaching, no value for the knowledge, no value for moksha, the wrong company, you can never develop, pick up interest. You can never discover interest for shastra or knowledge or moksha, anything. But you must be in the company of right people, isn't it? Right people, the great people, the wise people, or at least people who respect dharma, who know the value of shastram, only then you can discover that fact. And for you to be around the wise people, to be around the great teachers, to be around good people, to be around the people who value dharma, respect dharma, not to pick up being around, being with the, because being in the company of good people and righteous people and great people, to develop interest for good things, the sublime things in the world, in life also, you must have punyam. And you must be sharp also. If you are a dull person, you will not be in the, okay, for which one must have earned punyam. And that punyam, how does one earn? One must have lived definitely a life of dharma, life of values also. See, being in the company of good people also, you become righteous, you become ethical, you become worshipful, you become prayerful, you become religious. Not only that, you know, somehow you must have been already what now? One must have done, definitely it's very, being in the company of good people, you can't do wrong things. Definitely, you know, the influence will be, you will have the influence. You can have wrong influence, right influence. So here, to have the right influence, to aspire for sublime things in the world also, you must have done what now? Some punyam, which means living a life of dharma. How? By doing one's duties, by fulfilling one's responsibilities in conformity with dharma, following, being disciplined, thereby being disciplined, having mastery over one's way of thinking, having mastery over one's sense organs, having certain, being as a disciplined person, must have been disciplined to enjoy the company of good people. If an indisciplined person will never like to be in the company of righteous people, really I tell you. That's also, therefore he says, Shastram says, one must be disciplined. How does one become disciplined? By doing one's own duties, by fulfilling one's responsibilities, in conformity with dharma, by living a prayerful, worshipful life. Means what? Performance of actions. Helps one earn adequate punyam, earn subtleness of mind, to enjoy the company of good people also. You know, one must have done. Who explains all these things? Then finally, he does one thing. Kritihi, isn't it? You must know what is kritihi, what is performance of actions. Then last, we saw last word. What is kriti? What is karma? I want to know. And he says, whatever one performs, you know, karma is that which a person performs for one's happiness. Whatever you do, ultimately you do it for your happiness. Whatever you do, ultimately you do it for your happiness. Whether you know, anything you do, do it for your own happiness. You never do it for others' happiness. Please understand this. I do it for others' happiness. You do it for others' happiness, ultimately for your happiness. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Pooja Swamiji made very clear once when he taught this dharma. Whoever lives a life of dharma, whoever is involved in any amount of charitable activities, a service activities. See, service does not mean just doing something without being paid. Okay, unpaid duty, unpaid activity is not service. Whether you're paid or you're unpaid, whatever you do, if it is useful for you and for others, it is a service. You have punyam, you will be paid. You don't have enough punyam, you are not paid. That's all. Doing something without being paid. I say, whether you're paid or unpaid, that is, you don't have enough punyam to earn. That's all. Lakshmi has to come in, some punyam must be there. Lakshmi will not come to you if you have no punyam. You must have earned punyam to have Lakshmi, grace of Lakshmi, Bhagavati Lakshmi. Isn't it? But just because you're doing something without earning any money, that doesn't become service. And just because you're paid for the work you're doing, that does not become a service, is it? Still the service only. Service is what? Whatever you do, whether paid or non-paid, if it is useful for you and for others, it is service only. That is service. So what about charitable activity? Whatever you do it for your happiness. No, I do it for other people. Swamiji always says, when you do any charitable activities also, any reaching out activity you do also, you do it ultimately for your own happiness. Why? Because you see others suffering, others in pain. Seeing others in pain disturbs your peace, disturbs you, isn't it? So in order to get rid of the disturbance, the pain you have, seeing others suffering, and you want to reach out. Understand? So compassion is what? An expression of one's desperate, isn't it, need to get rid of one's own pain, seeing others suffering. For whatever you do, ultimately you are doing it for your own happiness. When you do things for others' happiness, it is you are intelligently selfish. You do things for harming, for your happiness, by harming other people's happiness, You are foolishly selfish. There is no such thing called selflessness at all. Why? Because Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. You do ultimately everything for your own happiness. Therefore he says, hey, what is karma? You cannot keep quiet. Something or the other must be done all the time. Okay? Karma is something which one cannot remain quiet. Physically, one must be active. One choicelessly, everyone has to be active. Our biological needs make you perform actions. Your emotional needs also make you perform actions. Emotional, biological needs are not your creations. Okay, you have not created your needs. You have not created your desires. Biological needs are there. Emotional needs are there. There are natural urges. Apart from your cultivated disease. In fact, those natural urges have to be addressed, their problems, and which it's them, which those natural urges themselves impel you to do actions. You have to be doing something or the other. You have no choice about performing actions. You have to understand this, okay? Avashaha prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma karyate. No, I don't decide to do. That's not true. You decide what to do, but you do because you're impelled to do. Understand? You can decide, you can choose what to do, but doing, you are not doing because you don't decide to do. Understand what I'm saying? You are made to do. Which means, please understand the helplessness. We have to be performing actions. We have to be doing actions. Something or the other we must be doing. If you don't come to the class, you'll be doing something else. Nobody can ever remain even for a second without doing anything. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you all would have read it, memorized it by now. Nahi karma, no? Nahi kshanamapi tishtati akarmakrite. One cannot, does not, should not remain without doing anything even for a second. Why? There's no time we are not performing any actions. Once you wake up from sleep, you are doing useful or useless, that's a different thing. But you will be doing something or the other. Why? Your biological urges, your emotional urges compel you to do the actions. In sleep, even in dream, you are breathing. All your functions are happening. Even in sleep, physiological functions are happening in the body. There's no time. Without your identity, functions are happening in sleep, in dream. In waking, with identity, functions are happening. Not only functions are happening, voluntary actions are also happening. Maximum you can only choose to do things, but you cannot remain. You don't choose to do. You can choose to do this action or that action. But actions are, we have to understand our helplessness. We are impelled and compelled by our own needs. The needs are what? In keeping with our inclinations. Inclinations are what now? All our, what we are basically as an individual predominantly. We are whether rajasic or tamasic or sattvic. Doesn't matter. Everybody must be involved in some activity or the other. But why does a person perform action? What does a person ultimately seek through this action? You have to perform actions for pursuing artha. You have to perform actions for pursuing your kama, pleasures. You have to perform actions even to live a life of dharma. Isn't it? To fulfill your duties and responsibilities. So actions, ultimately, through the pursuit of artha, kama, dharma, by doing something or the other, what you ultimately seek is happiness. Everybody's interest in doing things which make them pleased, which make them happy. Nobody will involve oneself in something which doesn't make one happy. Therefore, ultimately, a person performs actions for one's own happiness. When Sanat Kumara said this to Narada, Narada asks, what is happiness? What is sukham? Therefore, sukham, you need to understand sukham. Only for sukham, everybody is performing actions, ultimately. Only for happiness. Oh, sukham vijignase. I want to know what sukham is. Now he tells. Now Sanat Kumara brought him to the actual topic. In the Trayovimshaha Khandaha. Until now, I talked about, no, only just repeated what we have seen already in a different way. Not in exactly in the way the words are presented here. Okay? Trayovimshaha Khandaha. Now he says, I think we have to start there, isn't it? Let us see 23rd section. Yo vai bhuma tat sukham. What is sukham? Yaha vai bhuma tat sukham. Yaha vai bhuma tat sukham. You have to memorize this sentence, this word, this particular mantra. Okay? Yo vai bhuma tat sukham. Yaha vai bhuma tat sukham. That which is bhuma. Bhuma, as I told you already, nakarantaha pullingaha bhuman shabdaha is a masculine gender word. Brahman is what? Brahman also nakarantaha but napumsakalinga shabdaha. Brahman and bhuman mean the same, but bhuman is a masculine gender word, Brahman is a neutral gender word, and bhuma also means like Brahman. Bhuma and Brahman means the same, that which is of the nature of infinitude. Bhuma is one small word. How to say it in English? That which is of the nature of infinitude. That which is of the nature of limitlessness. That which is of the nature of fullness, that which is of the nature of limitlessness, that which is of the nature of infinitude is bhuma. So, there's the nature. So, what is that which is of the nature of infinitude? Implied by the word bhuma. So, bhuma is a word, does not indicate the something directly. It only reveals something in terms of its nature. Got it now? Because the reality can never be directly revealed. This is what reality is. The word bhuma or atma or Brahman, I'm repeating it, I'm taking my own time because it is something very important for you to understand. Atma, bhuma or Brahman, all these words we use, all these words do not directly reveal, indicate reality. They reveal the reality in terms of its nature. What is the nature of the reality? Fullness, limitlessness, infinitude is the nature of the reality. Infinite means what? Time-wise, infinite. Spatially infinite, object-wise infinite. So time-wise limitless, object-wise limitless, spatially limitless. Therefore, that which is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude is Brahma, bhuma. So bhuma, that which is of the nature of limitlessness, is what? Limitlessness. That which is of the nature of limitlessness is limitlessness. If I say that which is of the nature of being hot is fire, means what? Heat is fire. Is it clear now? That which is of the nature of being hot, if I say, is fire, if I say, heat is fire. Is it true? So limitlessness is what? Bhuma. Limitless bhuma is that which is of the nature of limitlessness. Limitlessness is bhuma. Now he says, sukham vai bhuma. Sukham is bhuma. Look at this. Sukham is equal to bhuma. Sukham vai bhuma. Sukham is bhuma means sukham is that. Sukham is what? Happiness is that which is of the nature of limitlessness. Happiness is limitlessness. People ask, how do you say happiness is limitlessness? It is made very clear. Happiness is limitlessness. Bhuma stands for limitlessness. Sukham is, Bhuma means what? Sukham is limitlessness. Happiness is limitlessness. How do you say that? Because limitation is unhappiness. Being limitless is being happy. Limitlessness is happiness. Being limited is being unhappy. Being finite is being unhappy. Being infinite, being limitless is being happy. Therefore, limitlessness is happiness. How does he know? He says now. So, limitlessness is happiness. And what is it, limitlessness? Bhuma. Why do you say Bhuma is limitlessness? Because Bhuma implies what? That which is of the nature of limitlessness is Bhuma. And happiness is limitlessness. Okay. How do you say that? He explains. Analpe sukham. Na alpe sukham asti. Follow, see the next sentence. Na alpe sukham asti. This answer for the question, how do you say happiness, limitlessness is happiness? If somebody asks the question, how do you say happiness is infinitude, happiness is limitlessness, how do you say? The answer is given. Alpe, na alpe sukham asti. There is no happiness in, isn't it? Happiness in finite things. There is no happiness in limitation. There is no happiness in limitation. So being limited means, isn't it? Being limited, there is no happiness in being limited. There is no happiness in being finite. There is no happiness in being time bound. There is no happiness in alpam. Alpam means what? There is no happiness in inadequacy. Alpe sukham nasti. Very clear. Alpe sukham nasti. There is no happiness in being finite. There is no happiness in being limited. There is no happiness in limitation. There is no happiness in inadequacy. Therefore, happiness is fullness. Happiness is limitlessness. Happiness is infinitude. He says, alpe na sukham asti. Now he repeats what? The next sentence now. Bhumeva sukham. Bhuma yeva sukham. He says now, sukham means what? Happiness means limitlessness. What is happy? Understand, happiness is fullness. Happiness is limitlessness. And the limitlessness is what? Brahma. Limitlessness is Bhuma. Happiness is limitlessness. Limitlessness is fullness. Fullness is Bhuma. They're not different. I'm not saying, mantra says, don't think. Because you already heard all these things, I broke my head in introductory classes. You all know thoroughly. Now, Upanishad, you are learning kindergarten class, you are looking at it. Because I have done a lot of homework introductory classes. I'm sure you remember all that, don't you? Okay. So, Bhuma yeva sukham. Bhumaiva sukham. There is no sukham other than Bhuma. Sukham is, happiness is limitlessness. Happiness is fullness. And the limitlessness is the reality. Reality and limitlessness are not two different things. Reality and fullness are not two different things. Reality and happiness are not two different things. Happiness is reality. Reality is happiness. Nireve paramburul, paramburule nireve. Got it? He says, now, bhumeiva sukham. therefore, now he says what? Bhumatveva vijignasitavyam vijignasitavyaha. Bhumatveva, say?
Bhumatveva
vijignasitavyaha.
Vijignasitavyaha.
I'm repeating every sentence here. Even if you feel tired and bored with my reading and repeating, I do not mind. It will become, she had to become thorough, isn't it? No doubt. No, because Chandogyam, having come to Chandogya Upanishad style class, again you should not have any doubts. All these days we had doubts, it's okay. Now we should not have any doubts. These words must be very clear for you. When I say very with all boldness, I'm telling you reality and fullness are not two different things. Reality and limitlessness are not two different things. I should not even say and, okay? Reality is fullness, fullness is reality. Reality is limitlessness, limitlessness is reality. Reality is happiness, happiness is reality. How do you say? Because happiness is the very swarupam, very nature of the reality. Okay? Which means, other than the reality, outside of the reality, there is no sukham. Anything other than the reality is alpam. Opposite of bhuma is what? Alpam. Alpa means small. Bhuma means big. Alpa means finite. Bhuma means infinite. Alpa means small, finite, time-bound, limited. Analpam bhuma is infinite, timeless, limitless, full, isn't it? That which is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness, infinitude is happiness. Don't ever use the word bliss, okay? That's why I'm repeating so many times. Bliss, I have not brought bliss at all here. Isn't it? Be very careful. You have to fall asleep and forget yourself, you have bliss. Don't sleep now. If you want bliss, go back and try. Here we are understand, trying to understand for happiness only. Okay. Therefore, yo vai bhuma tat sukham. Alpena sukhamasti. Alpe sukham nasti. See, Sanskritam, you all have learnt it today. Alpe sukham nasti. Rame dhairyam asti. Like that, alpe sukham nasti. So he wants to say no, no. Happiness is in finite things. He wants to say no first. So, na alpe sukhamasti. Read that now. Na alpe sukhamasti. Even after listening to this Upanishad's mantra, na alpe sukhamasti, still if you are expecting happiness, if you are dependent on everything in this universe is finite, if you are dependent on anything in the world for your happiness, what are you? Enjoy everything in the world, or enjoy all the finite things, experience all the finite things, but be prudent and intelligent. Don't be dependent on the finite things for happiness. Why? Alpe sukham nasti. The wrong search. Isn't it? If you go and expect that. Alpe sukham, na he puts first. Na alpe sukham asti. Again he repeats, bhuma yeva sukham, bhumaiva sukham. Therefore, reality is happiness. Fullness is happiness. Limitlessness is happiness. That which is of the nature of fullness is happiness. That which is of the nature of limitlessness is happiness. Bhumatveva vijignasitavyaha. I told you, jignasa means desire to know. Vijignasa also means what? Desire to know. So, Bhuma tu eva, indeed, it is Bhuma. It is the absolute reality which is of the nature of infinitude or limitlessness or fullness is to be understood, has to be known. May you know, discover Bhuma. Why should we discover Bhuma? Discovering that which is of the nature of limitlessness is discovering happiness. Bhumatveva vijignasitavyaha iti tasses the teacher Sanat Kumaraha to Narada. What does Narada say? Bhumanam bhagavo vijignase. I'm changing just to change it. Narada says. Narada, I don't think Narada would have asked like a woman like this, no? Narada also said, Bhumanam bhagavo vijignase. He would have asked like this, I think. Hey Bhagavan, Bhumanam vijignase. Bhumanam. Bhuma nominative. Bhumanam objective. Is it clear now? Bhumanam. Second case. Bhumanam vijignase. Bhuma tveva vijignasitavyaha. Bhumanam vijignase. I want to know what this Bhuma is. What is that which is of the nature of infinitude? What is that which is of the nature of limitlessness? What is that, the limitless reality? Isn't I want to know. Why? Knowing Bhuma is knowing happiness. All that we are doing ultimately for happiness, and that happiness is not in the doing. Why? Anything I do is what? Time bound. Any action, any ritual, any worship, any puja, any practice, meditation, everything is time bound. Mental, physical, oral activities are all time bound in nature. The time bound, finite in nature. How can finite karma give me infinite happiness? Limit, isn't it? Your fullness is happiness. Now he says what now? I want to know what that reality is, what Bhuma is, what is that which is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness, happiness. Why? Discovering Bhuma, discovering reality, discovering that which is of the nature of limitlessness is discovering happiness. Reality, happiness, limitlessness, fullness are not different. All mean the same. Understand? Therefore, now he says, I want to know what Bhuma is. What is that which is of the nature of limitlessness? Now you all can ask Bhagavan. Hey Bhagavan, say.
Hey Bhagavan.
Bhumanam.
Vijignase.
Hey Bhagavan. Bhumanam. Vijignase. It is the most exalted prayer. No, I want to know the truth. You cannot ask for a better thing. The best thing you can ask for is what? Knowledge. Oh Lord, please bless me with the vision of the truth. I want to know the truth. Isn't it? Iti trayovimshaha khandaha. Here ends the 23rd section. Trayovimshaha. Say?
Trayovimshaha.
Khandaha. Okay. Now the teacher goes, what is that Bhuma? In this next mantra, in this now 24th section begins, Chaturvimshaha Khandaha begins, and in the Chaturvimshaha Khandaha, first mantra, one mantra, yeah, there are two mantras in the section. The first mantra presents a definition of Bhuma. Definition of Bhuma is presented in the first mantra. What is Bhuma? What is Brahma? Every Upanishad, when we study, we can see the most important thing every Upanishad is what? The definition of the absolute reality. Every Upanishad has. What is the definition of Brahman we understood in Taittiriya Upanishad? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Mantra, isn't it? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Definition of Brahman reality, absolute reality, presented in Taittiriya Upanishad. What is the definition of reality, absolute reality in Kena Upanishad? Viditat, aviditat, adhi. Definition of Brahman. Like every Upanishad we have definitions. Mundaka Upanishad also, Adresham Agrahima, no? We also learnt it. Now in this Upanishad, what is definition of Bhu, at least hereafter, okay, make it clear. What is the definition of Bhuma, Brahman, the absolute reality, presented in Chandogya Upanishad? Look at this. Yatra na. Anyat pashyati, yatra nanyat pashyati, yatra nanyat pashyati. Now yatra na anyat pashyati, nanyat shrunoti, na anyat shrunoti, nanyat shrunoti, na anyat vijanati, nanyat vijanati, sabhuma. There in the first sentence, yatra nanyat pashyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati, sabhuma. See, bhuma is that. Because you want to know, bhumanam vijignyase. I want to know the absolute reality, which is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness, happiness. Now he says, sabhuma, that indeed is bhuma. That is the absolute reality, which is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness. What is that? Yatra, in which, anyat na pashyati, in which one, in seeing which one does not see anything else. One understood, kaschit, you have to add. Kaschit means someone, anyone or one. Anyat, kaschit anyat na pashyati. Or anyaha anyatna pashyati. One does not see anything in Brahman, in Bhuma. Na anyatna shunoti. One does not hear anything in Brahman, listen anything in Brahman. Na anyatna vijanati. One does not know anything in Brahman. If you know Brahman, you will not see anything, hear anything, listen anything, know anything other than Brahman. Okay? Now, we have to go ahead from here. Yet, take only one. This is the first definition. Yatra anyat na pashyati, na anyat na shunoti, anyat na vijanati. One does not see anything, hear anything, know anything in Brahman, in Bhuma, in reality. So, when you say this, what does it say? Take these words now. Shrunoti, vijanati, pashyati. Three verbs. You learn today verbs? Pashyati sees. Shrunoti listens or hears. Vijanati knows. When you say knows, hears, listens, each verb, no, implies what? Knowing, seeing, or hearing implies triputi bhedaha. When you say listens means there is a listener and the object of listening and the instrument of listening. Subject of listening, object of listening, instrument of listening. Hearer, heard, hearing. Is called what now? Triputi bhedaha. Triputi bhedaha means what? A group of three members is called triputi. And it's a triputi. Similarly, vijanati means knower, known, knowledge. Subject of knowledge, knower. The object of knowledge, the known. And instrument of knowledge, the knowing. Isn't it? Knower, known, knowledge, difference. Is called what? Triputi bhedaha. Pashyati, seer, seen, seeing. Triputi bhedaha. Got it now? Triputi bhedaha means the divisions. And this, having this division is called what? Vikalpaha. Vikalpaha means division. So, when the Upanishad says, yatra anyat na shunoti na vijanati na pashyati, what it is that which is free from this triputi bhedaha, that which is free from these threefold differences, which means Brahma, the Bhuma, absolute reality, which is of the nature of infinitude, implied by the term Bhuma, is neither the subject, nor the object, nor the instrument. It is free from these threefold differences. It means Bhuma is not the listener, not the knower, not the hearer, not the instrument of knowledge, instrument of action, or instrument of function, and not even what? Object of knowledge. Triputi bhedaha, free from threefold differences. When you say threefold differences, this difference implies what? When you say knower, known, knowledge, difference also implies division. So being free from threefold differences, triputi bhedaha, also implies another fact. Bhuma is that which is of the nature of divisionlessness. One indivisible, partless whole. Had to go step by step. Three verbs first he said, then you guess what now? Free from triputi, bheda, and being free from triputi differences, threefold differences, implies what? Brahman, Bhuma is of the nature of divisionlessness. There's no division. There's no division on the part of Bhuma, Brahma, absolute reality. It is one indivisible, partless whole. Which means you are negating all that which are finite. All subject to divisions. Anything subject to division is not Bhuma. Anything subject to division is not Bhuma. Therefore, first to understand what? Nirvikalp. Triputi bheda rahitam, number one. Therefore, what now? Triputi bheda rahitam means nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam is the definition, nature of the reality. Brahma. Next one, nirvikalpam, divisionless. Divisionless also implies what? Attributelessness. It has no attributes. Then we say one more thing. And not only this division, we have twofold triputi, I tell you. Now, it implies what? Vyavaharaha. Suppose, seeing is what? A transaction. Doing is called what? As a transaction. We have twofold transactions, two types of vyavaharas we have. What are two types of vyavaharas? Two types of transactions. One is karma vyavaharaha. Karma vyavaharaha and jnana vyavaharaha. Transaction in terms of knowledge, perception, transaction in terms of actions. Karma vyavaharaha involves also what now? Triputi, there's a triputi bheda. Performer, performed, isn't it? Action and performed. Karta, karanam, karma. Karta, karanam, karma. Performer of action, instrument of action, and object of action. Karta, karanam, karma. Is called what now? Karma vyavahara involves triputi bheda. Jnana vyavahara means the knower, knowledge, known. Jnana, transaction in terms of knowledge also involves triputi bheda, threefold differences. And karma vyavahara also involves what? Threefold differences. We have two types of vyavaharas, two types of transactions. When I am talking, my talking is what? Karma vyavahara. Why? Organ of speech is involved. Sitting is what? Karma vyavahara. But you are all doing what? Listening. This is a jnana vyavahara. Is it clear now? Listening is what? You are using an instrumental jnana vyavahara. Listening is jnana vyavahara. Knowing is jnana vyavahara. Understanding is jnana vyavahara. Speaking and sitting is what? Karma vyavahara. Is it clear now? Vyavaharaha means transaction. So we have two types of transactions as karma vyavaharaha, jnana vyavaharaha. And both types of transactions, transaction in terms of knowledge, transaction in terms of karma, involves triputi bhedaha. So what it implies is, bhuma is that which is free from all forms of transactions. Okay, avyavaharyam is the word used where in Mandukya Upanishad you learn this word avyavaharyam, that which is free from all transactions, that which is of the nature of actionlessness, that which is of the nature of attributelessness, that which is free from triputi bhedaha. The three verbs imply this much. Yatra na shunoti, yatra na vijanati, yatra na pashyati. Where one does not see anything, one does not hear anything, does not know anything, means Brahman is free from all forms of transactions. Isn't it? So Brahman is of the nature of transactionlessness, is of the nature of actionlessness, attributelessness, and free from threefold differences, which means is free from, is of the nature of divisionlessness. Now we say, next one, when you say divisionless, what does it mean? Whenever division comes, along with the division should come what? Time and space. Anything subject to division alone has what now? Subject to time and space. Anything which is subject to division is subject to time and space. So division implies time and space. Divisionlessness implies timelessness and spatial limitlessness. So, bhuma is that which is free of the nature of divisionlessness, which is free from divisions, therefore which is free from time and space, which is not bound by time and space. I'll teach you, I'll give you the example. When you fall asleep, when you are in sleep, there is no division, isn't it? In sleep, do you have any division? In sleep, just you are yourself. Just a new example, okay? Don't take it seriously. A new example. In sleep, when you are yourself, not knowing you are, not knowing the universe is, you are in sleep. Don't say I am not in sleep, okay? To say you are, to not be in sleep, you must be there. Are you in sleep or not? Not now. When you are in sleep, are you present or not? And I'll put you to sleep now. And I'll wake you up and ask again whether you were there or not. You can't go home, okay? Be careful. In sleep, you are all there. Even when you are in sleep, you are all there. But in sleep, how are you there? You are there not knowing you are, not knowing the universe is. The knower, known, there's no duality. In sleep, you all experience non-dual, you all have non-dual experience. In sleep, there is divisionlessness, isn't it? In deep sleep state, there is divisionlessness. There are no divisions in sleep. Nowhere known division is not there. If you know you are, you do not know you are, therefore there is no knower. You do not know the world is, therefore there is no known. The nowhere known division is not there in sleep. You have non-dual experience in sleep. You are just yourself. When there is no nowhere known division, there is no time also. There is no space also. In sleep, for you, there is no time, there is no space. You know why? Because there is no nowhere known division. If the division is there, there will be what? Time and space. If time and space comes, isn't it? Then limitations all will come. Therefore, the nirvikalpatvam, divisionlessness, implies what? Timelessness and space. So, bhuma is that which is free from triputi rahitam, triputi bheda rahitam, nirvikalpam, kala desha vastu aparichinnam. Three words tell you so much. Yatrana pashyati, yatrana shunoti, yatrana vijanati. Yendha paramborulil ketal aridal ellam illayo. So when you say that absolute reality is that in which there's no, one does not listen anything, hear anything, see anything, know anything, means what? There's no transactions involving threefold factors of nowhere known knowledge divisions. Seer seen, seeing divisions. Karta, karanam, karma, divisions are not there. Drashta, drishyam, isn't it? Darshanam, difference is not there. Pramata, pramanam, prameyam, divisions are not there. Triputi, bheda is not there. Therefore, divisions are not there. Therefore, vyavaharas are not there. Therefore, you say what? We also say, time, space, object limitations are also not there. Kala, you can, what write in Sanskrit notes? You can say first, avyavaharyam, bhuma avyavaharyam, avyavaharyaha. Why? Because you can say vyavaharaha, the no vyavaharas. Then avyavaharyaha, triputi bheda rahitaha. Bhuma is triputi bheda rahitaha. Avyavaharyaha. Therefore, kala, now we can say nirvikalpaha first. Nirvikalpaha. Divisionless. Therefore, what is fourth one? Kala desha vastu aparichinnaha. Free from time, space, object limitations. So it says, evam lakshanaha sabhuma. This is what is bhuma. Which means, now it has negated. When you say it is not that, everything finite is what? Brahman is not anything which is finite. This negates whole jagat, including your body, mind, sense complex, including your dearest ahankara. Isn't it? See now. Yatra. Okay, now. Atha. Yatra. Anyat pashyati. Anyat shrunoti. Anyat vijanati. Tad alpam. Okay. So where these, what is alpam? To differentiate the bhuma from alpam, to differentiate the infinite from the finite, to differentiate the nirevu from kurai, understand, differentiate the fullness from inadequacy, finite things, infinite from the finite, limitless from the limited, you know, he says what? Where you find, where one sees another thing, anyat pashyati, where one sees, one he listens to something, where one knows something, that is what? Where these transactions are there. See, knowing, hearing, seeing, etc. are all what? Transactions. What transactions? Transactions in terms of knowledge or transactions in terms of actions. Isn't it? So, karma vyavahara or jnana vyavahara, where these vyavaharas happen, yatra anyat pashyati, anyat sunoti, anyat vijanati tadalpam. Where anything which, where these transactions are, okay, karma vyavahara or jnana vyavahara, wherever happens, all those things are subject to these vyavaharas. The involved in transactions are all what? Finite in nature. They are of the nature of subject to limitations. They are subject to threefold divisions. Knower, known, knowledge divisions. Subject to differences. Therefore, they have what now? They have vikalpaha. They have vikalpatvam. Subject to divisions. They have divisions. Subject to differences. Involved transactions, and they therefore, when the division comes, time comes, space comes. In division is involved means time and space also are involved. Is it clear? Once the time and space are involved means all these are finite in nature, because they're subject to time limitation, subject to spatial limitation, subject to object limitation. Kala desha vastu parichinnam. Everything else in this universe other than bhuma is what? Subject to time, space, object limitations. Therefore, they are anityam. Alpam is anityam. Bhuma is nityaha. Finite. Therefore, yo vai bhuma tadamrutam. So, yo vai bhuma tadamrutam, that bhuma is of the nature of eternity. Eternity means what? Because already we have seen, because bhuma is free from these threefold differences, free from divisions, therefore free from time and space, therefore, it is what? Beginningless, endless, it is of the nature of timelessness. Therefore, it is timelessness. Therefore, it is of the nature of immortality, eternity. Bhuma is eternal, therefore immortal. Understand? Having a beginning means having an end. Having an end means being a mortal. No beginning, no end, because no time. Timeless, therefore beginningless, endless, therefore immortal. Tad amrutam atha yad alpam yad alpam tan martyam. And anything and everything other than bhuma, which is subject to time and space, subject to limitations, has what? Has a beginning and an end. Therefore, everything, anything finite is mortal. Martyam subject to death and change. Martyam. Sa Bhagavaha Kasmin Patishthitaha Iti. Now he is asking, O Lord, when Narad Kumara gave the definition of what Bhuma is, now he wants Saha Bhuma, that absolute reality which is of the nature of infinitude and limitlessness, Kasmin Patishthitaha, where is it located? Where is it established? Where is that Brahman? Is it Bhuma? Kasmin Patishthitaha Iti. He asks, where does it exist? Where is it located? Where is it established? Yengu nirakkappattirukkirathu. He says what now? Now teacher gives Sve Mahimni. Sve Mahimni. Yadiva
na
Mahimni Iti. It is of the nature of self-existence. It is in its own greatness. In its own greatness, it exists means what? It exists independently. Bhuma is that which exists independently. Therefore, reality has no beginning, no end, no change, no death. Therefore, there is no creation of the reality. This creation means it is not reality, isn't it? Sve Mahimni Tishtati means that which exists in its own glory means it is not dependent on anything else for its existence. In fact, existence is the very swarupam of that reality. Reality is of the nature of existence. In fact, you will understand the meaning of the word existence only when you understand existence as very swarupam. Sve Mahimni Tishtati. Okay, the next word I will explain next class. Na Sve Mahimni Tishtati. That's a different one. Now, why I sang the Rama Bhajan now? The word Ramaha means the same. One who revels in one's own self, one who rejoices in one's own self is Rama. Swasmin Ramate Iti Ramaha. Same meaning. That's why I brought that word. Swasmin Ramate Iti Ramaha. One who revels in one's own self is Rama. So Rama means what? The very reality, the truth. I'll give an example now. See, with reference to ocean, we know ocean, the form, ocean is a word indicating a given form in which the water obtains. Ocean is a word indicating a given form in which the water obtains. Isn't it? So, if we remove the water, which is the substance, the ocean is a substantive which will collapse along with the form ocean. The word ocean will disappear along with the form ocean if there is no such a thing called water. Therefore, with reference to ocean, we say water is not the ocean, but the entire ocean is nothing but water. We have to say both. Okay? It is not enough if you say water is not the ocean. Water is not the ocean. Step 1. What is the concluding step? ocean, entire, you have to use adjective also, entire ocean, all the waves are nothing but water. Is it clear? Which means water is satyam and ocean is mithya. Ocean is an appear, seeming appearance of the water. What is there is only water. There is no wave. There are no waves. There is no ocean minus water. Other than water. Okay. Now I tell you, where does the water exist? With reference to ocean, the ocean, the form and name, enjoys. The form enjoys its existence. The name enjoys its existence. Where? In the water. Therefore, water is the reality with reference to ocean. And water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. In what form does the water obtain? In what form does the water obtains the existence of the ocean? So with reference to ocean, water and existence are not two different things. Is it clear? With reference to ocean, water and existence are not two different things. The existence of the ocean, existence enjoyed by the form and name ocean, is water. Why? If the water is removed, form and name ocean will lose their existence. So water and existence are not two different things. The form and name ocean enjoy their existence in the water. Enjoy the existence of the water, enjoy the existence in the water. But water enjoys its existence. Whose existence? Existence is not an object there. Existence is the very swarupam of the water with reference to ocean. Understand the meaning of the word swarupam? I am sure, have you all understood the meaning of the word existence? Suddenly my tongue slipped fast. Okay, existence and water are not two different things with reference to ocean. Water is the existence. Existence is the water. Existence is the very swarupam, very nature. Being existent is equal to existence. Existence is what? The nature of the reality. So with reference to ocean, water being the reality, water is the existence, existence is the water. Understand? Similarly, here, it's only relative existence. Now here, absolute existence. With reference to this entire cosmos of elements and the elementals, living and non-living things, mobile and immobile beings, of which constitute the innumerable countless forms and names which constitute this entire cosmos, there is only reality implied by the term Atma, Brahma, Bhuma. That reality is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness, happiness. Why happiness? Because limitlessness is happiness. And that reality is what? It is free from all karma vyavahara and free from all jnana vyavahara. The reality is all the vyavaharas, transactions happen in the reality. Reality is free from vyavaharas. All the vyavaharas happen in, all the vyavaharas enjoy their existence in reality. But reality is free from transactions, vyavaharas. So all the divisions obtain in the what reality, but reality is free from the divisions. All the parts and divisions enjoy existence in reality. Reality is free from divisions and parts. All the differences enjoy existence in reality. Reality is free from differences. Time enjoys existence in reality. Space enjoys existence in reality. And reality is free from time and space. Everything which has all the forms and names have their beginning, have their existence, have their resolution happening in the reality. Whereas reality is free from beginning, end and change. Reality is of the nature of eternity, timelessness. Therefore reality happens to be the only reality, happens to be the very existence of every form and name, all the transactions. There is no second thing other than reality which can do any harm to the reality, that which reality is of the nature of immortality. No beginning, no end, no change, no time. Therefore, it is free from what? Destruction. It is free from death and mortality also. Okay, therefore, now we say, Kasminna Bhagavo Pratishthitaha Nambhuma. Where is this? Oh, amazing to know this Bhuma. Where is this Bhuma established? Where is this Bhuma located? Sve Mahimni. You know, so when you say, with reference to ocean, water is the existence, means with reference to this entire cosmos of these forms and names, what only existence is what? Reality. It is the reality which alone is here as the very existence of this universe. Every form and name, every experience, every transaction, every being which enjoys the status of being existent, and the existence enjoyed by everything else is what? Only existence, which is the reality. Reality alone obtains in the form of the existence of the universe, existence of everything here. Therefore, everything which comes and goes in reality enjoys its reality, existence. In the reality. But reality exists where? Reality exists where, we should not ask. Reality is of the nature of existence. Being existent is what? Its nature. And being existent means not arriving, not departing, not coming, not going, not changing. Being existent is what? Convert it into noun. Convert that word into noun. Existence. Reality is equal to being existent. Being existent is equal to existence. Not two different things. And that existence, that which is of the nature of existence, in which everything comes, exists and goes, is what? Exists where? And it's, that's a glory. Being existent, being the existence, is equal to being self-existent. Being self-existent, being self-dependent, is what? Is its glory. It enjoys, it exists in its own glory, means what? Self-existent. Is it clear? Very subtle. Very, very subtle. Hope you see this. Understand? Therefore, he is, she is, that is, this is, you are, I am. And the existence enjoyed by everything here is what? Existence itself, which is the reality. It's called Sve Mahimni Tishtati. We are going to see something beautiful, okay? There we have to see, take away even the Advaitam, all the words we have to drop at one point. Isn't it? In Puja Swami used to say, you are using the thorn to remove another thorn. Take one thorn to remove another thorn. Having removed the other thorn, throw this thorn away. Use the words Advaitam, etc., all these words, Nirgunam, Nirvikalpam, etc., to distinguish it from everything else. Having discovered this, even drop those also. Then no words, then keep quiet. What else you talk with? Isn't it? So we'll see, understand that. That's why another word comes. Na Sve Mahimni is also there. That we'll see in the next class. Is it clear? And anyway, I don't want to keep it long as a very big secret now. That absolute reality, which is of the nature of existence, which is of the nature of timelessness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness, infinitude, you know, divisionlessness, difference, free from differences, etc. That reality is pure knowledge, pure awareness, and pure consciousness. He is going to say later on, and where can you? It's not established anywhere. Everything is established in that reality. That reality is not established anywhere else. Where is that reality? Hey, everything is in that reality. Time itself is in that reality. Space is in the reality. How can you ask where? See, spatially bound, the very question is right. Spatially limited, you can ask the question where. Time was limited, when? Then how? You can't ask all these questions. Only you have to understand what? Everything that in which everything else is established... is what? Is the reality. Kasno kasmin bhagavo patishtidha. And that reality is awareness. And that only that, where you can discover it. It's everywhere. In it everything is. But where you can discover it, you can ask. Not where it is. It is everywhere. It is always. It is everywhere. It is as everything. Isn't it? But how to discover is the question. So we'll see the rest, the next everything, next class. You have to remember the order, sequence very important for you to understand correctly. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamiva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Rupyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Swami, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The word consciousness and then the word awareness is always used interchangeably. Do they mean the same, or do you use these words in different contexts differently?
No. We have limited sense of the word awareness.
Yeah.
See, are you aware of the fact? We always use, are you aware? What's happening here? No. Do you know this? That's the meaning. Of course, the knowledge also, we use the word term knowledge also in as a vritti jnanam, isn't it? But generally, when it, all these three words are synonyms. Awareness, I mean, let's say we use the pure. Yeah. Pure awareness, pure knowledge and pure consciousness, we say. Isn't it? See, now we are all conscious. Now heat consciousness is there. Sun consciousness is there. Light consciousness is there. We have to say all in London now, okay? April, 1st of April. 2nd of April. Now sun awareness is there.
Yeah,
sun awareness, sun consciousness, sun knowledge, brilliance knowledge, brightness knowledge, you know, is there. We can say that same. But here something is, isn't it? You're adding something else. Minus sun, minus light, minus brilliance is what? Don't say gloomy awareness, okay?
Pure
awareness. The pure again, pure also is a word, adjective attributed to the awareness or knowledge to distinguish it from the mixed, isn't it? Just otherwise, once you remove it, then there's just the awareness, only knowledge, only consciousness. This time, you'll also see, understand the vritti jnanam and swarupa jnanam. I made it very clear, even Taittiriya class. Even if it was not clear, it doesn't matter. That's why we had another Upanishad. Here it will become much clearer, isn't it? When do we use this? Suppose we say knowledge of anything. See, one simple fact, now you can understand this. When you say the world exists, you leave on everything. When you say world means what? Action, experience, fruits of actions, pain or pleasure, movements, motions, actions, everything, all the running around, everything, all the movements, isn't it? Everything exists. World exists means you can't include everything. Jagat bhati, jagat asti. World exists means world enjoys existence. Isn't it true? World exists means world enjoys existence. So existence presupposes knowledge or cognition. Isn't it true? So time and space are all the forms and names which exist within the realm of time and space, which constitute the universe. Universe means time, space plus all the forms and names which exist within the realm of time and space. The whole existence of anything presupposes knowledge, cognition. Isn't it true? Clear or not? If you say there is light, you have the knowledge of the light. If you do not know what light is, if you do not know there is light, even if the light is, it is as good as non-existent. Anything which enjoys existence presupposes knowledge. If there is no knowledge here of a given corresponding object, that object outside, even if it is there, it is as good as non-existent for you. That is why Swamiji always says, you see as much as you have here. You don't see what is outside, okay? You see as much as you hear. You have here. So, existence presupposes knowledge. If you do not know, then it doesn't exist for you. Doesn't exist for you means what? It is covered. Suppose now, there's so many scientific factors have been discovered already. Now, there's still, people are still, scientists are working. They are going to discover few more, many more subtle facts. So those facts which have not yet been discovered, isn't it? They're still what? They're as good as non-existent. They may be there. Only when you know it is there for you. Until you know it is not there for you. Isn't it? Therefore, existence presupposes cognition. Existence presupposes knowledge. Okay. There's no existence outside of the knowledge. So Swamiji will say, for where does the jagat exist? In your cognition. Only this is the space, little space. My God, this vast space is in your vritti, in your cognition. Space enjoy, how vast the space is, how vast a cognition must be to look, accommodate space. Where is space? In your cognition. Where is time? Where is presence? Where is past? Where is present? Where is fraction of second? In your cognition. Where are all the forms and names? In your cognition. Past, present, future is in your cognition. All the forms are in your cognition. The whole world exists only in your cognition. You had to include me in your in the world, okay? Me means what? Include. So we had to include all other people also in your. You had to include your own dearest body in the world. You have to separate yourself as a knower experiencer. Your own body, mind, sense complex, all your emotions, including your sweet madhu. Madhu means what? The sweet, dear ego. The knowledge I am. That's a what? Including the world, jagat, does not exist outside of the cognition knowledge. Existence of anything is what? Ego is, the knowledge I am is, means what? Enjoys existence. Anything and everything which enjoys existence is not outside of cognition. And what is cognition? Where is the cognition located? What is cognition? What is knowledge? Existence presupposes knowledge, means where does this knowledge exist? Where does cognition exist? There is no cognition, there is no knowledge outside of awareness, consciousness or knowledge. Where does the jagat exist? Where does consciousness exist? You can't even ask. Consciousness is the existence. Consciousness happens to be the reality. Consciousness is the existence. And being existent is the nature of consciousness. Just with reference to ocean, water is the existence. Understand? With reference to the whole cosmos, consciousness is the existence. Absolute existence is what? Consciousness only. Now, consciousness is, what is its swarupam? That consciousness, which is of the nature of existence, is in fact of the nature of infinitude, is of the nature of fullness, is of the nature of limitlessness. And being conscious, the consciousness is also, so happiness also, sorrowlessness is also what? The nature of consciousness. Therefore, happiness is the swarupam of consciousness. Bliss is also swarupam of consciousness. In knowledge, there is happiness. In ignorance, there is bliss. When you are not knowing you are, there is bliss. In total ignorance, there is bliss. Why? Sorrowless. When you are not knowing you are, not knowing who you are, when you are, there's a total ignorance. In sleep, there's total ignorance. There is no sorrow. No sorrow. Bliss. What is bliss then? Sorrowlessness is what? Nature only. But what is happiness? In total knowledge, you know you are, you know what you are. In total knowledge, there is only reality. When you say there's only reality, means what? There's only happiness. There's only fullness. The fullness, happiness is not a state of mind. You discover happiness being the very swarupam of the reality. In discovering the reality, you resolve your individuality, you disappear. How wave disappears in the wake of the knowledge of the truth being water. Not physically doesn't disappear. Intellectually, cognitively, there is no wave, there is only water. The same in the wake of the knowledge of the reality, the being the consciousness, you see there is no I. I am, I has gone. Just wave goes. Cognitively you resolve the wave, in the same way cognitively you see there is no I other than consciousness. It's only consciousness. That is what now? Ahankara Nasha, Ahankara Tyaga. Isn't it? That is what, you know, that's what you are offering yourself absolutely to Bhagavan, which is Purnahuti. Isn't it? In fact, you don't offer. You just disappear. Isn't it? Nice way of putting it. I offer myself to Bhagavan. That's why you at least have some, you know, make yourself an offerable. That's a Purnahuti. You offer yourself, offering comes to an end, conclusion, Purna, becomes complete. The offering, offering which, the act of offering becomes complete. Offering of the offerer makes the offering complete. So, Purnahuti. Afterwards, what should you do? Finished. Eat prasadam and go. What is prasadam? Moksha is the prasadam. Moksha prasadam. And moksha prasadam we can enjoy. God has given bliss and happiness.
Very subtle.
Yeah. Moksha prasadam you can enjoy, okay? That is the absolute prasadam. Again, you will not go for a prasadam. Finished. Once you got it, you can keep a prasadam forever. Again and then go and ask, don't need to go and ask for the prasadam again and again and again. So have you answered your question, doctor? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.